Hi, this is Mike Swanson. I got Dave Skrika of AddictedToProfits.net with me. How you doing, Dave?
Pretty good. How you doing, Mike?
Oh, I'm doing great. Yeah, we were talking before we did this interview about the commodity sector, and you sent me a real interesting chart of CCI, so I was hoping we could talk about that a little bit for our listeners.
Yeah, I guess you could always post this chart on
the webpage. I'll do that.
Talking about it, but what I find interesting, I like the CCI better than the CRB, because the CRB is very heavy. I think it's a 60-70% weighting in energy, where the CCI is more like a quarter industrial commodities, a quarter soft commodities, meaning the grains, a quarter, like precious metals or metals, and then a quarter energy. So it's more equally weighted, and if you look at it, it's been essentially in a downtrend since 2011. And I just think this is a consolidating, you know, some of the big moves going back to 2000, and then obviously consolidating the big move we saw in commodities from 2008, the fourth quarter bottom, to the 2011 top. And it looks like we could be breaking out of the downtrend since 2011 in commodities. And that, I think, will then lead the rest of these markets and kind of Europe. And I think the markets as a whole, if you go back to mid-2011, if you look at, you know, everything from emerging markets like the BCE, the Bombay Stock Exchange, the Indian market, to markets in Europe, to the CCI, all these markets have essentially been consolidating or declining since mid-2011. And I think that we're starting like a bottoming formation in these markets, and we could begin to break out probably sometime within the next 6 to 9 months and starting a major high lower. It's almost like the S&P is the worst market to look at right now, because it's one of the only markets that hasn't been headed lower, and is probably not a good inclination of what most markets around the world are doing.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm watching commodities real closely. In fact, I do have some positions in them, and I'm thinking of buying some of the commodity ETFs and whatnot. But I see the same thing, that markets across the world, forget about the U.S. though, but they all have very similar charts and look like they've been in either bear markets or consolidations, and are likely to break out of that by the end of this year or sometime early next year, and really start taking off. And it almost looks though as if it could be that commodities and gold could end up breaking out first and leading the way up. So, you know, if you just ignore the news, that's still pretty negative about the rest of the world, and when you watch television here in the United States, if you just forget what they're saying and watch this chart of the CCI, if it breaks out, I think you should just start buying stuff and forget about what they're saying on the TV.
Yeah, if you looked at anything from the British to German to HUI to commodities to some emerging markets, it actually looks like there was a top in the fourth quarter of 2009. A lot of these markets are almost in these three-year consolidations that they continue to consolidate into the fourth quarter of this year. And then when you break out of that kind of like consolidation that's been going on for really 2 to 3 years in a lot of these markets, you really should almost start another 2-3 year move higher. And that's where sometimes you're better off just looking at valuation and maybe some technicals. And then that is what you want to buy some of these stocks on. And the nice basing pattern that we've seen in a lot of these markets in the last 2 to 3 years. Now, with the VIX falling to under 15, and with there's some being somewhat complacency in the markets with the rally we've seen in the short term, I'm kind of thinking that we could see a consolidation. I don't know if it'll start now or in September or October, maybe with some bad news out of Europe, but I'm almost looking at like one more pullback lower, and then wanting to purchase this pullback in anticipation of a big breakout of the markets that could happen starting in later this year or next year sometime. It's something that could be quite substantial.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. What about gold stocks? What's your views on them?
Yeah, I really like the pattern in gold stocks in that, you know, again, like we kind of saw this topping pattern in gold stocks going on in mid-2011, this choppy kind of rollover downwards. And it looks like you're building a nice base, for example, on the AMAX Gold Bugs, the HUR, you're building a nice base between roughly the 372 pattern on the downside to the 464 on the upside. And once you come out of that, it looks like a major bottom will have been formed in the gold stocks. And you can move higher at least into the middle of next year when the seasonal strong period for gold stocks from actually about this time of year to, you know, to the spring starts. If you want to look at a similar pattern, a similar pattern was formed kind of like between about 400 and 500 on the gold stocks on the HUI in mid-2010. And then the, you know, gold stocks rallied to about mid-2011 to about 640. Now, I think that because we're so cheap valuation-wise, we're much cheaper than we were in 2010. We're going to see a larger rally. But a kind of, again, this nice basing pattern similar to what happened in mid-2009 or mid-2010 is forming in the gold stocks, and we could see a nice year-long to two-year-long kind of rally in the gold stocks forming.
No, I really think this is an exciting time. I don't think it's that exciting, though, if you're just, you know, watching the S&P 500, the NASDAQ, and the Dow. They don't look too exciting to me. And I think what's starting to happen with the United States isn't that things are going to get bearish, but more that the market action's slowing down. It's already starting. That volatility is shrinking. The U.S. has been in a three-year now bull market. And, you know, bull markets that last 5, 6, 7 years, which is what happened from 2002 to 2007. That was a five-year long bull market. Now we're into one that's 3 years long. After 2 or 3 years, what usually happens is the momentum slows down and things just kind of drift and start to enter a trading range. And I think that's what's happened in the United States. And these things that we're looking at should vastly outperform the U.S. markets now going forward, I would think, for the next couple of years.
Yeah, I think one of the major factors you have to look at as well, like you look at the commodities bull market, or you know, these equity bear markets, is just look at the flows into funds, like out of equity funds and into bond funds and that sort of thing. And I think at first, I think at some point we're getting back to the 70s where bonds will go down and yields will go higher and stocks will go down at the same time. But I think right now, because bonds are coming from such low levels, if we get some kind of resolution or some kind of solution to what's going on in Europe, you can see a move out of all these, you know, equity, or sorry, out of all these bond funds and then into, you know, into these you know, stock funds. And when that happens, I think you need a catalyst out of Europe to make that happen. We can see a longer term bull market in commodities in European and emerging market equities and et cetera. And I think that is going to happen. I just don't know when that is going to start. Like, I really don't see that happening in the short term, but definitely I think in the next 3 to 6 months, we can see that happening.
Well, that's why this chart, the CCI, is something I'll be watching real closely along the CRB index and other things that you have in your newsletter too that we haven't talked about. But
if this is just another bounce like's happened in the last over a year in the CRB, mm-hmm. and it kind of like stops here at the downtrend line or stops at the 150-day moving average and we roll over to a new low, it probably means it's going to take a little while longer for this to really bottom and take off. But if, yeah, like you said, like if we get this pullback or our down leg in the markets in the next 2 to 3 months and the CRB or the CCI, that CCI holds up, it probably means we're starting some kind of bottoming formation, especially in emerging markets in Europe and in precious metals, and we're gonna get ready for the next move higher.
Yeah, someone could do something really simple. They could load up the CCI chart. The 50-day moving average is at 539, okay? They could turn off their computers, never look at this stuff again, turn it back on, let's say, in October, and if it hasn't broken that 539 level or is above it, just start buying stuff, and they can do great over a year or two. Is that something?
Yeah, I think that's really what to look at. Like, if you look at, again, like you're talking the CCI or something like in India, the market in India peaked before the rest of markets in Europe and commodities. And then it kind of bottomed in the fourth quarter of last year before, again, a lot of these other markets. And if those markets that are leading kind of start to show relative strength going forward, like the gold stocks could be seen the same way as well, it probably means that we're going to get ready for another big up leg, you know? And I think, yeah, like you said, you can start buying. And I think you want, it's kind of like 2008, 2009, if you would have bought a lot of the markets that were beaten up the most, meaning the emerging markets or things like casino stocks, if you buy the kind of the markets that are beaten up the most right now, that's going to be a lot better bet than buying like the S&P 500 on a decline. You're going to want to buy the markets that are really beaten up and sold out, which, you know, are the precious metals markets, a lot of the emerging markets or European markets. Like, those are the things to look at right now.
Yeah, and I'm looking through some of them as we're talking, and it does. It looks like this 50-day moving average is acting as a new support level in a lot of them. So I wouldn't be surprised if it don't break that. If it just consolidates above it or something, then things take off later, a couple months. But we'll see. Time will tell. So anyway.
Yeah, I think it's a little different than, say, like 2007, 2008, where a lot of people are talking about the S&P topping out, is that if you look at those markets in 2007, 2008, is that commodities, emerging markets, European markets all stayed strong while the market was topping in the United States. We're kind of now, we have this disconnect where, you know, the S&P has held up, where all these other markets have kind of rolled over and acted really weak. So I don't think you can just say, oh, the S&P is going to go down and you still want to stay out of all these markets, is that at some point there's going to be a bottom and probably all these other markets will begin to outperform.
Yeah, with one last note on that, the thing about the S&P 500 is it is high. It hasn't really corrected that much. It only fell 10% this summer, and it's not that far from its March high. So it's easy to look at that and say, well, how much upside does it have? Could it top out and fall? So I'm scared to look at anything else. But the thing is, I just think what's happening is the volatility is shrinking in that market. The volume is disappearing. And, you know, I just don't think it's going to do that much. So I think you got to pay attention to these other things we're talking about if you want to make money in the market now.
Yeah, and I think that people are looking for like a crash or huge correction. But when you look at, since 2008, we've seen a spike in 2010, 2011, 2008, obviously the early 2009. Like, essentially, other than this year, every year for the past 4 years, the VIX has spiked to over 40. That's historically very abnormal. Like, if you go to the VIX going back to the early 80s, you get a spike in 87, you get a spike in 98, and then obviously the financial crisis this time around, or even like early 2000s, usually the VIX didn't spike to over 40 for you know, it didn't happen for, you know, for every 5 or 10 years. So what's happened recently is very abnormal, not normal.
No, I think that's a really good point, because we've all gotten used to what's happened in the past 3 years, in the sense that there's a lot, you know, in the last 3 years, there's been a lot of volatility in the stock market. You know, you had the crash in 2008. Every year after that, there was a decline of around 15% real suddenly. We had that flash crash 2 years ago. Last year, there was a rapid decline. This year was different so far. The market only fell 10%. But one thing also that we have gotten conditioned to think that is actually not happening anymore, but that was that everything was trading together, right? From 2009 to 2011, you know, all markets seem to go up and down together. And now that's starting to not happen anymore. And what had been an abnormal situation these past 3 years is now ending, and we're going back to more normal markets, like you're saying.
No, like a lot of people I know are cautious about the gold stocks, because they'll say, well, the S&P goes down, you know, the market going to drag down the gold stocks with it. But I said, look, that's already happened. Again, take like the Italian market or the German market and put that on top of the performance of gold stocks. Really, the gold stocks have traded with these other markets, meaning the emerging markets, the European markets, since mid-2011. So it's not so much that the S&P will drag it down, it's that gold stock, yeah, they are maybe still trading with equity markets, but it's not the equity markets you think that they're trading with. So if those markets are bottoming in Europe and in Asia, then the gold stocks are probably bottoming as well.
Yeah, and they're, you know, when the gold stocks go up, they go up. So
and just to finish off, I showed you a chart of the NASDAQ from the bull market of the 80s and 90s. Yeah. And one thing I showed you was that from 1983, the top of the market in 1983, to the bottom of the NASDAQ market in 1990, that's 7 years, the NASDAQ topped at 328. And then it bottomed to 322 in 1990. It's topped to 328 in 1983. So those 7 year period, the NASDAQ did nothing. But, you know, the NASDAQ peaked to 5,000 in 2000. So that was a huge bull market from 82 to, but there was a 7 year period where the NASDAQ did nothing. And if you want to look at it this way, yeah, the gold stocks really haven't done anything since 2006. So often there's these 5 to 7 year lulls in the market, in a secular bull market where these markets can do nothing. But I just think we're getting ready now for some kind of huge, you know, multi-year rally in a lot of the commodities and precious metals and the whatnot.
Yeah, and I'm looking at that NASDAQ chart going back as long as you're saying. And in 2002, it bottomed, right? And it went up about 100%, let's say, in 2 years. And then from 2004 to 2006, it basically went sideways and didn't do anything.
Yeah.
And then 2007 had a final blast off. So I think that's where the U.S. is now in a 2 or 3 year period, start, you know, which probably started already, where it's basically not going to do much. And everything else around the world is going to be more fun and exciting.
And again, look at the foreign markets from after the first move higher. That, yeah, you're right. The charts look very similar to kind of the 2004, 2005, 2006 period where the U.S. was just kind of choppily going higher.
Yeah, foreign markets were
going up. But,
you
know, what happened in that period was that, you know, like emerging markets and commodities really, really outperformed. And see, my opinion is after you get this big kind of round of money printing coming out of Europe and in Asia in the next year or so, is that's exactly what's going to happen. We're going to see a 2 to 3 year period where those markets really outperform, the U.S. underperforms, and then probably you get some kind of topping pattern in the markets in 2014, 2015. But again, like there's no point in looking out to that topping pattern in the S&P because you're going to get some great opportunities in the next 2 to 3 years in those other markets.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a good final note to leave everyone with. I know you got to tick off too, and thanks for taking the time to talk with me and everyone else.
Good to be here.